Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Okay, Red Sox Nation, so as Anthony said, since the Sox face off against Baltimore today, who's going to be watching? This isn't really a question of the less than opportune 3 o'clock game time, but more a question of father time, because baseball fans, you're getting older. During last year's World Series, the average viewer was more than 54 years old, up 4.5 years since 2009. Lots of gray hair poking out from beneath those Red Sox caps. And that's not great news for the business of baseball if the sport wants to turn today's young fans into tomorrow's paying customers. So the Red Sox are launching an effort to meet millennials where they are, online, on their smartphones, and in the digital world. Callum Borchers reported on the deal in today's Boston Globe, and he joins us now. Hi there, Callum.
Hi, Magda. Happy opening day.
Happy opening day to you. So you reported on a new partnership that the Red Sox organization has with the digital marketing firm Sapient. Now, we don't know precisely what Sapient's going to be doing for the Sox, but they've done this kind of thing before for other clients like ESPN and LeBron James. What do they do?
Right, and these are big brands just like the Red Sox. So on the one hand, you might scratch your head and say, well, what else could you possibly do? It's not like people aren't tweeting about the Red Sox or LeBron, right? But the Red Sox believe that they can do even better. And it's always that sort of question of where is that correlation between buzz on social media and actually converting that into a revenue stream, right? And so that connection is a little bit unclear right now, but the idea, of course, as you said, is to turn those young fans, and we're not even necessarily talking about millennials, could be even younger, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, who are already on mobile devices in a lot of cases. If you can hook them as fans at a young age, they become baseball fans for life, and as you said, down the line, then they become paying customers.
Right, and as you reported in watching last year's World Series, for fans or would-be fans between the ages of 6 and 17, only 5% of people in that age bracket even watched any of the games.
Yeah, it's a shockingly low number, and we all have this image, right? Today's a great illustration on opening day of kids playing hooky from school, right? So they can go to the ballpark and watch the game, and it's just not happening so much anymore. You know, obviously there are a lot of kids who still love baseball, but, you know, my littlest brother is 7 years old, and all and he and his friends want to play is lacrosse in the spring, right, instead of baseball. And this is a big picture issue for the game. This one partnership with Sapient won't, of course, solve it altogether, but part of the idea is to just be where the kids are. You know, if they are on their tablets, if they are on their mobile devices, the Red Sox want to make sure that they are part of that conversation, at least top of mind for kids who, you know, may be more comfortable playing with those devices than they are actually playing with a baseball mitt.
Right. So let's talk a little bit about how the numbers sort of pan out between professional sports. I mean, as we mentioned, 54 years old, the average age of a viewer for last year's World Series. I see in some other reporting that for Major League Soccer, they had an average audience age that was 39 years old in 2011. NBA Finals, which had an average audience that was 40 years old. The Super Bowl, third youngest audience amongst the major sports events at 42.5. And the Masters Tournament for golf, what's the number there? 56.4 years old. So baseball, the average fan is more along the lines of the age of a golfing fan.
Yeah, that's a bit worrisome, right, when you're getting up into the golf territory. Although it's funny that you bring up the Masters, Magna, because when I was sitting down with Sam Kennedy, the Red Sox COO, last week, he actually brought up the Masters. And it was by contrast, actually. And he pointed out that when you go to the Augusta National Golf Course, right, you actually have to turn in your phone. You cannot take your mobile device out onto the golf course with you because they don't want any interruptions at all. And, of course, that is a very old-fashioned, sort of stodgy place, right? And they take great pride in that. The Red Sox don't want to be the Masters, as popular as that golf tournament is. They want to welcome you. Bring in your mobile device, please, and use it at the ballpark.
Just use the hashtag Red Sox at the very least, right?
Exactly,
exactly. So let me ask you, what do you, in your reporting, did you discover is driving this sort of graying of the average Red Sox fan? Because especially in a place like, you know, New England, where love of the Sox is so profoundly transmitted from generation to generation, this seems like an unusual thing.
Well, that's right. I mean, you know, the love of the Red Sox is well ingrained in this area. But I think that sort of the big picture, you know, a lot of people feel like the game itself is one of the issues. It's gotten very long. We all watch every season as the average length of the game time ticks upward. And it may not even be so much the total time as it is the actual pace of play. You know, Kennedy really drew a distinction between those two things. And you think about the NFL, right? You know, you might have a game that goes into overtime and lasts 3.5 hours. But if it's back and forth and really exciting, you don't mind devoting that much time to the ball game. But I think what slows people down with baseball sometimes is there's a pitch, and then the guy steps out of the box, right, and he's adjusting his gloves, and then the pitcher steps out. You know, it's very slow sometimes. So I think that is one thing that baseball maybe has to look at down the line.
Now, Major League Baseball as a whole has been thinking about this graying of their fans for quite some time. I mean, it was not that long ago that they created something called the Fan Cave, where two guys, their job basically was to watch every Major League Baseball game for the course of a season and tweet about it, Facebook about it, just be all over social media for these games. Was that effective for them?
Yeah, they started this in 2011, and they had no trouble getting applicants. They had 10,000 people who wanted to be in the Fan Cave, and as you said, they just lived there in this sort of, you know, ultimate fan man cave, right, in New York City for the whole season and watched every game. And it was effective in the sense that it got more people talking about baseball on Twitter. It drove extra traffic to the baseball website. The whole idea to sort of mix pop culture and social media with the game, right? So you'd have, maybe music artists stop by the Fan Cave and visit with those guys, and then they're tweeting about it and talking about it and getting some media coverage of it. And that's sort of the idea, is to just sort of reach out and make sure you're in front of fans' eyes if they're looking on their screens and maybe not watching the game live at the ballpark.
And now the Red Sox are going to try and tailor that specifically for the Red Sox brand. Well, Callum Borchers, business reporter for the Boston Globe and also the Globe's tech website, Beta Boston. Always great to have you, Callum. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me, Magna.
Stay with us. Coming up, the sober truth, debunking the science behind Alcoholics Anonymous and the multi-billion dollar 12-step industry. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Magna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.